Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we're going to. It's interesting what we're about to talk about. You know, there's been this tax holiday that was voted on in 2004, the Homestead Investment Act 2004, that allowed U.S. multinational corporations the option to repatriate their overseas profits to back home, but at a very favorable tax rate of 2.5% possibly, and which is only 15% of the corporate U.S. corporate tax rate, and we're talking about upwards of $1.5 trillion in foreign profits that U.S. multinationals have parked across overseas. And the Institute for Policy Studies came out with a report saying that this didn't do anything. The 10 biggest companies in America, 10 of the biggest companies in America, including banking giants Citigroup and Bank of America and others, which we'll talk about, didn't do anything to create the jobs it was supposed to create. The Heritage Foundation, which is a very conservative think tank, actually came out in agreement with part of that position, saying no, it didn't do anything at all for America and to build jobs. And so when the right and the left agree, we needed to have them both in the air to discuss why that happened and what they're saying similarly and what they're saying differently. And we're joined this hour by Scott Klinger, who is Associate Fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-author of the report America Loses, Corporations That Tax Holidays / Jobs, and Curtis Dubay, who is a Senior Policy Analyst at the Heritage Foundation, where he specializes in tax issues. And Scott and Curtis, welcome. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
And you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com with your thoughts. And Scott, IPS put the report out. So talk to us in a nutshell about the summary of what this report is saying.
Well, we looked at the companies that benefited from the 2004 tax holiday, and we found there were 58 of them, of the companies that took the tax holiday, that collectively accounted for about 70% of the tax breaks. And those 58 companies announced layoffs of almost 600,000 jobs between 2004 and today. So we looked and decided that they aren't really job creators if they're having that sort of job destruction. We also looked at U.S. employment trends among the companies that did report, and we looked at global employment trends. And to our surprise, we found that half of the companies shed jobs globally, so they're global job destroyers as well.
And so, Curtis Dubay, welcome. Good to have you on the show with us as well. I guess it was a shock to many people who wrote these articles about this report that the Heritage Foundation actually agreed in large part with what the Institute for Policy Studies was saying.
Well, we agreed partially. What we're saying is that...
Partially. Yes, I stand corrected. Partially.
Doing a repatriation holiday won't create jobs, but we certainly did not argue that it would destroy jobs. I think there's a problem with correlation causation there. But what we're arguing is that we don't disagree that we should be changing how the foreign profits of U.S. businesses are treated. What we're saying is that a repatriation holiday, a short-term holiday, isn't the right way to do it because it's backward-looking. It doesn't change the incentives facing businesses to change what their future investment might look like, mostly because the U.S. businesses aren't capital-constrained. I mean, they can get their hands on plenty of cash right now. They have about $2 trillion sitting on their books that they could invest, and they have ample access to capital markets. So there's no – if they were capital constrained, they might look at it differently. But because they're not, just bringing back more cash from abroad isn't going to get them creating jobs. There's a better way to go about it, which is to reduce the tax on future foreign earnings rather than past foreign earnings.
But what's happening right now, Scott Klinger, and folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on this? We have very interesting perspectives where the saying that this bill would do nothing to really do what it says it's going to do, which is create millions of jobs in America. There's a bipartisan Senate bill going in now that would grant corporations a tax holiday, continue it. Senator Kay Hagan, a Democrat in North Carolina, and John McCain, Republican of Arizona, introducing a bill that would let U.S. companies bring home as much as, I said earlier, $1.4 trillion of overseas profits at this reduced tax rate. And that's being debated now. And so, Scott Klinger, what are you suggesting should be done instead?
Well, we think there's a real problem with the amount of money that leaves the country that's U.S. profits that's disguised as foreign profits and shifted to the tax havens around the world. One of the interesting things that came out today was Senator Carl Levin's Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations in the Senate issued a report that looked at the 2004 tax holiday. They spent 2 years doing this study, and one of the things we were most surprised about was they looked at 19 companies, and they found that seven of those 19 brought back 90% of their offshore profits in 2004 from tax havens, and 12 out of the 19 brought back more than 70% of their profits from tax havens, places like the Cayman Islands and Bermuda and other places where there's not big U.S. doing business selling cars or McDonald's hamburgers or other things. It's primarily for financial transactions to avoid paying much or most of their U.S. taxes. So rather than giving a big corporate tax holiday, we think the first step ought to be to stop the funds that are leaving simply to avoid taxes by passing the Stop Tax Havens Abuse Act, which would outlaw using shell corporations that have nothing more than a post office box and a brass nameplate on the wall and claiming that that's a legitimate business that international businesses use to channel their U.S. profits.
So, folks, I'm curious what Americans think about at 410-319-8888 and write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com about what Congress should do. I mean, should we allow the tax holiday to continue? What should be our policy towards $1.5 trillion in profits that live overseas that American companies own? Does it belong to them? Should it stay overseas? Should we be taxing it like the countries overseas do? Some don't. Or should we leave it alone? And I think in some ways, what you're saying, Curtis DeBay, in this debate is we should leave it alone.
What I'm saying,
or are you saying that?
Well, the income that is often put into is in what are considered tax havens. That's not money that a U.S. business earns here in the United States and ships to a tax haven. It's earned overseas, and then it ends up in tax havens through all sorts of iterations as it moves around the world as the company does try to avoid tax for as long as possible. What I'm saying is that we should get on board with the rest of the world and switch to what's known as a territorial tax system, which means that we'd only tax U.S. businesses on the income they earn within our borders. We are the only country left in the world that has what's called a worldwide tax system, which means we tax our businesses on the income they earn in foreign countries. This puts our businesses at a huge disadvantage relative to their global competitors. In the global race for business and capital, we're falling well behind because of our worldwide tax system and our very high tax rate.
If that means that your dog agrees, is your dog is on the left or the right? Does he agree or disagree with you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, so is your dog on the left or the right? Does he agree or disagree with you?
That's my dog. I think he's that's his way of agreeing vociferously.
So, but Scott, so if America is the if what Curtis is saying, the United States of America is the only country that taxes its corporations' profits that they make overseas, are we making a mistake, or are the other countries not getting it and we need to do something different?
Well, the United States tax system gives companies a full 100% tax credit for taxes they pay on foreign profits when they bring it back. The problem is when U.S. companies are using these very low or no tax tax havens, that they're really evading the purposes of the U.S. tax system, undermining the U.S. tax system. What they're doing is legal. I'm not making any claim that they're doing anything illegal, but we need to change the rules. We have a really complicated corporate tax system. It runs to 70,000 pages. It's full of perks and preferences and special rules for certain industries and even particular companies. And I think this is something where left and right might agree that this is a problem. When we have some major companies paying little or no U.S. taxes year after year and other equally large companies paying 25 or 35% of their income in taxes. In small business, the government says on average paying 26% of their profits in taxes. So it's not a level playing field. All businesses, we can disagree on what the rate that all businesses should pay, but all businesses should pay for the common services that they enjoy from the government and the common good for the society.
So is that a starting point for a debate to begin, Curtis DeBay, that we need to overhaul this insane 70,000-page corporate tax code that allows people to get away with not paying taxes, what some of us would argue, and some people bearing the brunt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we can agree that there needs to be tax reform, but I think step one is the easy step. The subsequent steps are the harder ones. The companies that aren't paying tax right now, remember, they do pay tax in other countries where they're operating. So it's not that they're not paying any tax anywhere. They're not paying U.S. tax. And that's a large reason why that they're not paying any taxes. They're not earning any income, or they didn't earn any income over the last few years. Or if they're earning now, they're using their past losses to offset future today's earnings with our carry forward and carry back provision. So if you want corporations paying more taxes, then you want a faster growing economy, because once the economy turns around, they'll be paying plenty of taxes.
Well, one other thing.
Go ahead, Scott.
So I want to give an example of drug companies, which many of them earn close to half of their sales comes from the United States. We know that the U.S. is a very high-cost drug market and the biggest drug market on earth. And the way that these companies reduce or even eliminate their U.S. tax bill is that they register their patents in a place like Luxembourg that doesn't tax income from royalties. And they charge then a very high use for the very high cost for the use of those patents when they produce a pill. Therefore, all of the profits from the drug end up in Luxembourg rather than in New Jersey or California or wherever the drug company is located. So they tell the IRS that they have a big loss.
Let me let Scott finish, yeah. And you can come in. Go ahead, Scott.
So they tell the IRS that they have a big loss because of all these patent costs that they've shifted offshore. We don't think that's fair. We don't think that's good tax policy. In many cases, these products were discovered in labs in the United States, and it's simply a financial move to register their patents in a place that doesn't tax them.
So please jump in, Curtis DeBay. I mean, is it legally, morally, ethically wrong for large companies, as he was describing, like drug companies, to shift patents overseas where they're also shifting to avoid taxes and then make these profits and bring them back home at almost no remuneration to the United States?
Well, it's not as simple as that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. If a U.S. company, I used to do this for a living, so I know about this. The businesses, when they create a product, if they come up with the intellectual property here in the United States, and then want to move it to Luxembourg or Switzerland or wherever they want to move it, they don't just ship it over there and the intellectual property is transferred without any consequence. They have to sell it over there. So they sell it to a Switzerland subsidiary or a Luxembourg subsidiary. And that subsidiary pays hundreds of millions of dollars for that. And that transaction has to be documented by the IRS and checked off on. So it's not like it's completely tax-free. When they do that, they're selling the part of the IP that will be generating profits in Europe, so some of it still does remain here in the United States. And the IRS does make sure that they're paying the proper amount of tax when that happens. Of course, I mean, it does lower their tax burden, but it's not as cut and dry as shipping the IP over intellectual property overseas, and the U.S. never sees a cut of it any longer.
So, Scott.
Yes.
I mean, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think that the IRS is very under-resourced in terms of the amount of agents they have in these big companies, and one of the big efforts in Congress has been to further cut the enforcement budget at the IRS. I think the problem of transfer pricing is widely acknowledged. Congress has held a number of hearings lately, the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee, where I think across the spectrum from academics to business people themselves have said transfer pricing is a huge problem, but they don't know what to do about it. And it persists. It ends up in a big tax gap, and it ends up, as I said, in creating this unfair system where companies that operate multinationally can reduce their tax burden to close to nothing, while domestic manufacturers end up paying a quarter or a third of their earnings in federal income taxes. I don't think that's a very sound and sustainable business climate, and playing field for American businesses broadly.
Well, let me ask you both this question. Let me start with Curtis DeBay and then go to Scott Klinger. I mean, do you think that with $1.5 trillion overseas that if it was repatriated, A, America should be able to tax that at the corporate rate of 35%, and B, do you think that corporations are paying their fair share? Start with Curtis and go to Scott.
Well, they already are being – they haven't paid the tax on it yet, but once they bring it back here under current law, they will pay tax on it. But the way that we get rid of that tax would be the repatriation holiday. And we're on record as saying that that's not the way to go about reducing the tax burden. But we're trying to, you know, the point is that by opposing the repatriation holiday, we're saying that the proponents of it are arguing that this is a job-creating measure. We're saying it's not going to create jobs. We already saw what happened in 2004. So we're trying to be consistent. If you're going to argue that a tax policy is creating jobs, then it should create jobs, and this one certainly won't. But, you know, we're certainly in favor of getting the onerous tax burden that we have on businesses. I shouldn't say onerous tax burden. What I should say is that the high tax rate that's driving investment overseas and switching to a territorial system from a worldwide system, and as far as the corporations paying their fair share, I don't tend to think of it that way. I don't know what fair share means. Everyone has their own conception of that. I tend to see that people on the left think fair share just means more. But I think if we had a reformed corporate tax system, we'd have less questions about what's fair and what isn't and who's paying what and who's not paying anything.
Scott, pick that up, would you? This is where the rubber meets the road, I think, in terms of, I mean, we can all agree that something's amiss, as the report from the Institute of Policy Studies pointed out. But I think the real question is, what I asked is for the differences live and how to address them, is this $1.5 trillion in taxes, is that something that corporations you think are avoiding to pay? Should they pay? And are corporations, from your perspective, paying their fair share? And if not, what does that mean?
Well, we would certainly agree with Curtis's perspective that there's already a bunch of money in the United States. Companies are not capital constrained, and bringing this new money back isn't going to have any positive impact in terms of creating jobs. If corporations wanted to create jobs, there's more than enough money here right now to invest and begin to hire people tomorrow. On the broader question of whether it's fair or not, we think what's missing out of this whole discussion is a broader discussion about the distribution of taxes. We know we're in a situation where the government's running a high deficit. We know that there's complaints that the tax system is unfair. We think it's worth having some historical perspective and looking back in time. And one of the things we do is look back to when Dwight Eisenhower was president. And at that point in time in the early 1950s, corporate federal income taxes accounted for 32% of the federal tax receipts, federal government receipts. Today, it's under 9%. Is that the right proportion? It should 91% of the taxes not be on corporations and be on excise taxes and individual income taxes and other things? We think there's room to talk about that and have it be higher. When we look at the amount of taxes that corporations pay in other countries in Europe and Asia, as a percent of their economy, the U.S. ends up being on the low side of that. The recent study I saw from the Citizens for Tax Justice said that the U.S. was the second lowest country in the world in terms of corporate taxes as a percent of their GDP. So there's room to look at corporations paying not more, but paying fairer. And I come back to this point, and I would love actually if Curtis would weigh in on whether it seems like a good idea to have some companies paying very little to nothing and other companies paying a third, because I think there might be room that we can agree that all companies should contribute something, even if we can't agree on exactly what a fair share is.
Good question. Curtis DeBay?
Well, just a couple of things to point out. Back in the 1950s, it's a little bit of an apples-to-oranges comparison because we didn't have the proliferation of flow-through entities that we have now. A lot of businesses pay their tax burden, their tax bill through the individual tax code. So you have to account for the switches in corporate formations. And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that when we're talking about taxing corporations or businesses, we are talking about taxing people. Eventually, a tax burden has to fall on a real live person. So when we're talking about raising taxes on businesses, we're talking about raising taxes on the shareholders of that business, the employees of that business, or the customers of that business. So we all bear the burden of the corporate tax one way or another. And I think one of the goals of corporate tax reform should be to make sure that companies that earn similar amounts of income pay similar amounts of taxes. So I think that could be one area of agreement. Again, these are the easy parts of the tax reform process, agreeing that we need it, agreeing that it should be something that increases equity and fairness. Where the rubber really meets the road is how do we accomplish that?
And Scott, so I mean, I think again, where the rubber meets the road, this is to me not trying to set it up as a divide, but this is really in many ways the divide about whether or not corporations pay their fair share or do not.
Well, I think that's right, and you know, one of the things that was interesting about the IPS report is that we expected pushback from companies about the fact that they didn't pay taxes. The criticism was that we do pay taxes. You're just not counting all the taxes we pay. So there was a sense of pride in corporations of wanting to be considered part of the taxpaying community, which frankly surprised us, and we were glad about it. We were surprised that there wasn't a pushback that corporations shouldn't pay taxes, that we should abolish the corporate tax system. So we think there's some reason to have hope. And yes, you're right, there is a rubber meet the road. What should be the fair share of corporations in terms of the global mix of the distribution of taxes in this country? And, what ultimately should the rate and the terms be? I think it would be a good first step to begin to do some basic things and figure out why it is that so many companies seem to escape most of their taxes every year, to begin to close some of those loopholes that allow that, and gradually work to some of the bigger reforms and the knottier questions that we've unearthed in this conversation tonight.
Scott Klinger is Associate Fellow at the Institute of Policy Studies. He's co-author of the report, America Loses, Corporations That Take Tax Holidays / Jobs. Curtis DeBay is Senior Policy Analyst at the Heritage Foundation, where he specializes in tax issues. Scott, Curtis, and your dog, Curtis, thank you all so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us both. And I remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible with the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. 1-800-638-7781. It's a way for you to investigate to buy a home in Baltimore City. You can also click on their banner at steinershow.org. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Cricket Arison. We're engineered today by Akisa Gunn at WEAA and Chris Rank here at Delmarva Public Radio. Our theme music is by Juan Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear the show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and find out information about our guests and their work and what we discussed here this evening or any evening, please visit us at the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care, and thanks for listening. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.